What you want? We got a mild to hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games, and you know we talk about the latest goings more so than any other. And our Mountain West matters. Well, will you? You listen to this podcast too. And you rant about this podcast too. Just a side where Jeremy and Allison matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews, and you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you? You listen to this podcast too. And you love this podcast too.
Welcome into the latest Mountain West Connection podcast. Jeremy Moss hanging out here. Check us out, MWCConnection.com, as always. Facebook, Mountain West Connection. Twitter, MWC Connection. Chris Andres is back from a leisurely trip from Las Vegas to San Diego.
I hate all of you.
And that third laugh, the other laugh, we have Eli. Sorry, say your last name. Don't get screwed up again.
Bedker,
that's right. I knew it was something like that. Bedker. Basketball, because we're going to talk a good portion about the streak's over. The streak is over.
Yeah, that's the big news today.
San Diego State.
164 games.
A lot. Let's just go with a lot. what was it, Chris? It was leading by 5 minutes left in the game, right?
What it is San Diego State has a remarkable streak of closing down games. When they are winning with 5 minutes left, they were undefeated. Well, they weren't undefeated, but they were on a 164-game win streak, meaning that they know how to close out games despite their spotty offense.
That's exactly what didn't happen yesterday.
For 164 yeah. games. Now, let's just think about this real quick. I'm going to go on a ramble on here real quick.
Go for it. That's what we do.
164 games, right? And if we take San Diego State basketball, right, how many games have they won, do you think?
Ever?
No, just in the last, like, 8 years or so. Like, what's their records,
you think? Probably 20-plus, right?
So they've probably been winning 20-plus games every single season for, like, last 9 years or so?
Yeah, that's when they become dominant in the Mountain West, either one of the top three teams.
All right, so I will say right now, so last season they were 27-9, 30-4, the season before, 23-11, 26-8, 34. And so you're going back probably to 2007 or 2008.
Considering not every single one of those games fell into this category.
Yeah, that's also considering not every single one of those games fell into the category. So
I'd say decade minimum.
I don't say – I'm not sure if it's a full decade, but it's significant.
I think Jeff Grammer said it was the 08-09 season, but I could be wrong. But I'm pretty sure that's what he said.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think Grammer's right on that.
So, I'll trust him on most anything basketball.
08-09. So that is 8 seasons.
Amazing.
That's an 8-season streak, and Boise State just ended it.
Without James Webb.
Without James Webb, and at Viejas Arena.
So, because Eli, you did a recap for the game, did great stuff for Boise State, hoops and everything, hoops in general, because you're a hoops guy. So this game, here's how I came to find out about this game. they talked about, I'm watching a game. I'm like, it's reasonably close. It's about 4 or 5 point game. Second half, I'm like, they go up big. They go up by, what, 8 or 9 points with about 3.5 minutes left or something like that. I'm like, we're going to go get new cell phones, head to the Verizon store. I'll just pause it just because. Didn't even think about wanting to watch it just because I paused it. Come back home, fast forward. I'm like, miss free throw, rebound, rebound. Holy crap, what is happening here?
Yep.
So give a better explanation of exactly about what you're thinking during the game. Like when it's coming down, it's like, what happened here?
Well, Boise started off pretty well. I believe they were up 30-22, and then they couldn't finish out the half. So knowing Boise this year, it's, oh, here we go again. They're going to take a good first half and then ruin the second half. But yeah, San Diego State had a pretty decent run towards the middle of the second half, and it looked like they're going to pull away with about 2 minutes left. I think they're up 9 with a minute 40 when Chandler Hutchison fouled out, and he was their top scorer from yesterday. So we're thinking, okay, this one's over, and the fans are in it, and it seems like it's just about done. And then San Diego State just could not hit a free throw. They missed all of their last 7 free throws, and then Nick Duncan just decided to knock down 2 threes in the last 40 seconds. And
your next door neighbor, Nick Duncan.
Yep, that's right. Yep, the IT guy knocks down 2 right at the end. And it's funny because I believe Boise didn't have a single 3 until 40 seconds left in the game in January. And they only had 1 at the time Nick Duncan hit one with about 48 seconds left in this one. So they saved the best for last yesterday, and it was just a crazy, crazy finish.
So is this more, because I watched a bit of it, but is this more of them just not making the free throws? Because they were 17-32, which is pretty bad.
I mean, San Diego State shot well, which is usually not the case for them. I believe they shot over 50% for the game, so they shot fairly well. But it definitely isn't a game that Boise State should have won, and you can't win many games when you miss your last 7 free throws. But even so, they left Nick Duncan open twice right at the end of the game, and he made him pay for it.
And also looking through, Boise made their free throws. Looking through at the end here, you got Duncan, three-pointers, Mikey Thompson making free throws, a couple. Everybody's making free throws. Nick Duncan gets a steal. It's kind of the play-by-play a little bit. Like, here's the thing, you're winning. This is the time. Here's logic comes into play. If you have this extensive winning streak, whether you're blowing out teams or not, the last 5 minutes, they usually talk about it when it's a close game. They're not going to talk about when they're up 20 points with 5 minutes left against UT Arlington or something like that, or Cal State Northridge. It's these games. You would think during this time, because they've had plenty of close games.
Did anybody
like this
hear me?
No. Did you say something? Good.
Yeah, I muted my microphone because my phone was ringing. Sorry.
Okay. No. What I'm getting at is if you have this type of streak, you would assume free throw percentage is vital or key, and you're very good at it, because that's how you win these type of games. If you're winning by 3 to 5 points, you're going to be fouled, not take shots. But in this case, like I said, they missed their last 7 free throws, and they make even 2. Yeah, they lost by 3, but if they make half of those, at least they're going to win the game, because it changes what Boise has to do. Because if it's instead of a 4-point game, it's a 2-point game or vice versa, it's a huge difference of what you're going to do.
The other thing that surprised me at the end, if you were watching this game without knowing San Diego State's streak, I really don't think you'd have any idea that they had the streak in the first place, because right after Nick Duncan hit that 3 to take the lead, I believe it was Trey Kell that got the ball, and it was only 22 seconds left, and he was just dribbling up the floor with really no sense of urgency, and then he eventually dribbled it off his knee out of bounds, and then San Diego State had to foul Anthony Drimmick, and he put in 2, and that was pretty much it. But the possession where San Diego State could have taken the lead back was just not a very good set play, and that was it costed San Diego State in the end.
Yeah, because they had 22 seconds left on that last possession, and then turnover 2 seconds
left. Turned over with 2.4 seconds left in the game.
Yep. It's so, Aztec fans, relax. Don't. It's one loss. Well, I like all the jokes, especially our Ron Carey and our New Mexico guy. Hey, so Boise's the best team now since they beat them.
No.
People, I know they're true, correct, but I'm gonna step up here because San Diego State fans, relax. Cool your jets against what we say about the team. Because, like, people, like, I read through the comments, like, every comment, like, I'm like, okay, that's great comment. Whatever. I'll rebuttal a bunch. We're not going to talk about Maxwell Smith, but there's that happened pulled up again recently. But all we're saying is that any, like, New Mexico at the time, New Mexico was a team that was good at the time. But again, we have guys who write about New Mexico, Wyoming, UNLV, Boise State, like you do, Eli. I kind of do whatever. We have guys who do Fresno. So relax when you see a recap. Like our Wyoming recap for San Diego State when they clinched the title, it was still mostly about San Diego State, mentioned they won the title, but it's not bowing down to say they're the greatest team ever because they won the conference, and frankly, crappy conference this year. And I explain that to people. Some get like, okay, that makes sense. Some still pile on and complain about it. It's like, we're not going to have, like, Eli, we're not going to have you preview a game and then have, say, Irvin preview the same game, which is the same two, these two teams, a recap. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, that makes no sense. So that's my PSA or something. But regardless, Aztecs still have the number one seed. It's still a one-bid conference. I'll say 98%. Is that right, Chris? You think?
Oh, yeah, 98%,
absolutely. Or should it be higher?
No, absolutely. It's got to be 98%.
So it's a one-off game. Aztecs didn't play great down the stretch, and that's why this tournament's going to be amazing. Like, Eli, you check out the standings. Like, second place of sixth place is, like, what, one game or something?
Yeah, let's see.
It's nuts.
Yeah, so San Diego State's at 14-2. Fresno is 11-5. And then Boise State and Nevada are now tied with 10 wins. And it looks like New Mexico will get that last bye. So I think 5-6 teams to win it. Think about that.
Yeah, New Mexico gets the last bye. And when they're good with Eli Brown there, they're
this
very good.
This sort of is reminding me of the WAC. And obviously most of these teams came over from the WAC. But this is definitely reminding me, especially with Fresno State and Nevada at the top. You're missing Utah State right now, but I mean, those last, I would say from 2006 to 2010, those last few years in the WAC, man, you had some really good teams just playing against each other, kind of beating up on each other, even New Mexico State. And I think that's what's going to make the Mountain West tournament this year just that much more fun, is because we're seeing these teams, especially in the Mountain West, we're seeing Fresno State and Nevada higher seed than what they normally are, and with a real threat to absolutely steal that bid.
I wouldn't say Nevada. They might win one game and cause some issue, but Marvell Harris, you're right. If he goes off for, which he can, 45 points, if something happens, why can't they win the tournament? If he has a big game like that, they have enough talent around him where if he does extraordinarily well, then have a few other guys just do what they do. They could be like they've already beaten the conference. They beat San Diego State. So it's like, come on, it's already happened. And I was going to say Colorado State was that team because they scored points, but they lost today to Nevada in overtime. So that, I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Is CSU the best team? I think they could because they score enough points.
I think they could pull off an upset in the quarterfinals, but it wouldn't be an upset in the quarterfinals because it would be the higher seed, but they can score the basketball, but they just seem so up and down. I think UNLV is a better shot if you're looking for a deep upset in the tournament because the fact that they're hosting it and have been playing better basketball as of late, but there's just so many teams. I think the Mountain West tournament is going to be nuts this year.
We say that every single year, though, UNLV. Yeah. Especially since right now UNLV is sitting at sixth seed. I mean, they got their first round. Assuming everything stays as it stays, you're going to see UNLV just pretty much destroy San Jose State in the first round. Then they're going to play whoever that three seed is, and if that three seed turns to be Boise State, oh my goodness, that's going to be a fun time.
And they just beat Wyoming, too, at home with Josh Adams. Yeah, 31 points.
But here's the thing, though. You could totally see – and this is what's funny also. You can totally see Wyoming pulling a couple upsets in the tournament as well. I mean, Wyoming
– right.
Once again, if you're talking about positions that stay right now, Wyoming is slated to face Utah State in the opening round. And then that winner plays San Diego State.
Well, no. Wyoming will play Air Force at the moment.
No. 8 versus 9, dude. I got the tournament schedule right up here.
Oh, you do? Oh,
it's six versus 11, 7 versus 10, 8 versus 9. So Wyoming, Utah State, and then whoever wins that gets their shot at San Diego State the next morning.
The weird thing is, Wyoming's 6-11, but here's what I'm going to say right now. Utah State's not winning the tournament. Air Force is not winning the tournament, or San Jose State. Anybody else, I would not be surprised who could win the tournament. Is that fair to say? There's 8 teams that have potential to maybe win the tournament.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty fair. And yeah.
But I mean, but you said Wyoming, they're 6-11, but look what they can do. I think they could, if Josh Webb does Josh Adams, excuse me, look at the wrong thing. If he goes off for 30 points, which he can, he did, they lost, but, or they beat UNLV the other day, 31. Or lost UNLV, I mean, UNLV. But I mean, if he scores 30 something points, why not? Look at last year. With Larry Nance and those two guys with Adams. Jeez, I can't talk. My fever's kicking into high gear tonight, so hopefully I remember your guys' name once we get going forward.
I think realistically, 5 teams could possibly win this tournament.
Which 5?
I think San Diego State. I think Fresno State. I think Boise State. I think UNLV. And I think Wyoming.
So not Nevada or New Mexico, who have much better records?
No. And the reason why is if you look at Nevada's conference losses here, we're going to pull up Nevada real quick. Okay.
I agree too. When I do that, I was looking through, I didn't realize Nevada was that high.
They have a tendency, first of all, their most of their losses come on the road. Okay. Fair enough to say that should be straight out, that's going to be expected because most of your losses will be on the road. But the only teams that they really played close that they lost, I mean, they got destroyed by Fresno State. They got destroyed by New Mexico. San Diego State, they lost close, but that's because San Diego State, once again, whole offense thing. Colorado State, 9 points. It's a fairly significant win. And then UNLV, they had that tie, and then once it came to overtime, UNLV just shattered them at the end. They thought they had the win. Then once it came to overtime, I mean, that's why you play overtime. New Mexico, same situation. You're talking about lost hard to Fresno State, lost hard to Colorado State, close loss at Air Force, decent loss at Utah State, decent loss at San Diego State, very close loss at Wyoming, and then hard loss at UNLV. So, you know, once again, they're either really, really close losses or they just don't match up against the teams well. And it's going to come down to seeding. And when you have that 4 versus 5 seed, guess what? Nevada's playing New Mexico the first round. Once again, if these standings hold. So who does that game 5 winner? They play the game 4 winner, which would be San Diego State or, you know, somebody else if Wyoming or Utah State happen to upset San Diego State. Well, once again, no. Wyoming more likely than Utah State, but no.
Correct.
But both New Mexico and Nevada have struggle against both San Diego State and, you know, those other teams.
You would think with what Eli Brown could do, scoring 22 a game, then they also have Tim Williams and almost just over 17, that they would be able to just score against most teams, even against the Aztecs, have more success than other teams since the defense is so good, but they just have puzzling losses on the season. Like you said, the games you mentioned, but we still got seeding to go through, so let's kind of chat about a couple other games next week. Any particular game, Eli, you're looking forward to this week? Also, really quick, New Mexico's lost 3 in a row, so just think, and 5 of the last 7, so that's something to think about as well.
Let's see, I'm pulling up the schedule right now. There was one game earlier in the week that I was looking at earlier this afternoon, and there was one game earlier in the week that looked intriguing. Let's see.
I know we got New Mexico, San Diego State this week.
Okay, that could be a good game. New Mexico is just so confusing this year, though, right? Right when you think that they're turning the corner, then they just get blown out by a team that they shouldn't lose to. And sometimes they upset a team like they did against Boise State.
San Diego State.
Yeah, so San Diego State.
Go on Tuesday.
That could be a good game.
Hey, just so here, because that game's on CBS Sports Network. Do either of you have Optimum Cable?
I don't know what that is.
Anybody? Anybody? Eli? Yes?
Optimum Cable?
Yeah.
Are you trying to...
With the huge sports package?
I don't know. I'm just I don't know. I'm just curious because I like the CBS Sports app. It's actually my favorite one to check scores and stuff on there. I pull it up and a little ad pops up for the thing. Hey, if you have Optimum Cable, you can actually stream CBS Sports Network on a mobile device.
Oh, they finally got it to stream?
How 2010 of them.
Yeah, no kidding.
But only on Optimum.
No, I don't. At least I don't think I do.
See, I don't know who has Optimum. I'm not sure where that's even in the
Wednesday,
country.
Wednesday, you have Nevada Boise
State. Baby step, CBS. That will always be interesting. No, that's not what I mean. Nevada, Boise State. You said Wyoming, I believe. I'll be quiet.
Colorado
though. Go
State,
ahead.
Fresno State. Yeah.
Points? There's points in that game.
And then Saturday. Saturday's the last. Saturday or Sunday the last? I guess Saturday would be the last games of the year.
Yep, Saturday's the last
and
day.
It's seeding at this point, but you have UNLV at San Diego State. Once again, could be interesting. And that's pretty much it. Unless Colorado State goes in a downward spiral and Air Force somehow picks it up. Air Force Colorado State rivalry.
New Mexico Nevada, that could be some intrigue there.
Oh, at the
They're
end.
Nine, right now 9-7 for
it's going to be a rain match
six,
next
yeah.
week.
Wolfpack. It's possible. This is like there's like the other games, whatever. Fresno, Utah State, Boise, San Jose State. There'll probably be something online, even with those lopsided, likely to be safe, lopsided matchups in a couple of those games. There's probably going to be some sort of seeding element online because how close it is between everybody. Because while Boise's currently 10-6, New Mexico's one game behind them. Nevada has the same record as them. Fresno has one game better than Boise. So there's going to be some sort of intrigue, at least to, hey, let's watch the first half or watch 10 minutes here and there for a game you don't care about just to kind of see. It's like, okay, Boise looks like they're going to win, so they'll be seeded here. There's just a couple games, but the only thing for sure is San Diego State is the three-time regular season Mountain West title champion. So congrats to them. Number one seed, which is there really, before we wrap up here, Hoops, is there really an advantage to be the number one seed, or does it really matter with how jumbled this is? Is there any, does it matter really what seed you actually are in the tournament?
To a certain extent. We talked about this last year. The most, what did we say last year was if you're going to, like, the best seed to be is like either the third seed or the sixth seed. That was last year's tournament because you have some a good opportunity of pulling up some pulling out some serious upsets.
Well, yeah, I think you want to avoid UNLV and San Diego State. That's about it, really, right? For the most part.
Sure. Eli takes.
I'm just saying because home team and best team.
Eli.
Hello.
There you are.
I think if I had to choose which team I would rather or which seed I would want to be in the tournament, it'd probably be the one. And that's because I'd rather play Nevada or New Mexico rather than Fresno State and Boise State. And that's because I think Boise State, they might turn a corner after San Diego State because this is the highest they've been all year since their 10-game winning streak. And Fresno State, they've won four in a row, and they're still not even fully healthy. So and Fresno State could easily take the tournament, but I think it's better off taking the one seed, and that's good for San Diego State for locking it up last week so they can kind of coast into the Mountain West tournament, only have to win two games to punch a ticket. So.
Okay, good set points. Okay, a couple questions here, basketball. Our good friend Daniel Connolly, Twitter Daniel V. Connolly, does some Nevada stuff for us here and some random other stuff, UConn things as well. So AAC football, he's your guy, apparently, I guess. So for everybody, start with Chris. Who's your dark horse team to win the tournament?
I'm going to go... Like, are we going true dark horse, or are we just going, like, fake-ass dark horse?
What do you No, who do you think? Like, you mentioned Wyoming quite a bit. Would they be your dark horse team to win? Because it sounds like
they're 6-11.
They're 6-11. That would make them the very definition of
dark horse, right?
That's your stupid upset.
That would be a stupid upset pick for basketball,
right?
So that'd be obviously the stupid upset pick, dark horse. I think obviously though, my more likely dark horse is my alma mater number one, which is Boise State. And totally
that's not a dark horse pick.
Eli, back me up here. This is a dark horse pick.
No, I veto. Veto. No, that's not
good. If you're the. Like,
come on.
Gosh, I don't know. Because Boise State, I mean, they've been picking it up. But for my dark horse, if we want to go really big time dark horse, I'll go with Air Force. And
what?
I mean, I really don't think it's going to happen. No,
again, the very definition of stupid upset pick is it's not supposed to be logical.
Exactly.
You might as well, right? I mean, but if you look at what they've done recently, and no, I don't think Air Force is going to take it all, but they might win a couple games. They beat Boise State,
mm-hmm.
played really well in that game, just shot the lights out. They beat UNLV and they beat New Mexico. And they lost by 1 point to Fresno and played really close against San Diego State. And that's all recently. CJ Siples, who's their sophomore guard, he's been absolutely on fire from deep. And he absolutely lit up Boise State a couple weeks ago. So that's a super dark horse. Yeah, it's probably a stupid pick. But if you want to go deep, you might as well go with that.
Eli, you must play good basketball. Picks with us. It's a fun game, especially during football season.
Yep.
No, you brought up some good stuff there too, because that does make a lot of sense because of the wins they've had and close losses. So, I would go Colorado State because just because they could score points. I was thinking Fresno, but I'm like no, they're like second. They excel like Marvel Harris quite a bit, but I would go the Rams just because how well they could score for them to be a dark horse team to win the tournament. So Chris,
the way I see it right now. Every single team in the conference has had a point where they've played really well and a point where they've played really bad.
And that's what makes it tough.
Exactly. So you could pick pretty much anyone. I mean, San Jose State, that's obviously not a smart pick, but it's that's a really stupid upset pick. But it'll be so wide open. It's going to be nuts.
So you stick with Boise State, Chris?
I hate to say it. I like Wyoming as a SUP. So as a Wyoming, I like Wyoming as a stupid upset pick. I like Boise State as a dark horse.
Okay, sure. I will let that slide. Another quick thing, basketball question for Brian Stevens, YOBS. Of course, Wyoming fan there. Josh Adams, best player in the conference, but will he be player of the year?
So are you saying will he be media voted player of the year?
That's what he says here. His exact thing is Josh Adams, best player in the conference, but will he be player of the year?
I'm going to go with yes.
Yes on both?
Yes on both? Josh Adams is the best player, and yes, I think media will be smart enough to vote him player of the year.
You got to win to be player of the year, though.
So then who are they going to choose?
I think you do.
James Webb? Or are they going to choose Trey Kell?
Okay, it's good. No, nobody from San Diego State will win the award because they don't have an offensive player that's average, and they don't have a defensive player who's just amazing freak. So I'll go with Marvell Harris. I'll go with him to be my – that's who I'd pick. As for conference player of the year, I like Josh Adams quite a bit, but okay, I think I'll Harris will get player of the year because Fresno will probably finish second or third.
I'm taking Elijah Brown. I think Elijah Brown's going to take it.
A good
he absolutely well. Went off last night, and he's put the team on his back. Last week, I probably would have taken Josh Adams, but I think Elijah Brown is number one right now.
That's basically the only three options out there for the most part, I would say, those three people. So any other quick basketball tidbits or anything, Eli, you want to chat about before we let you go? We move on to some other stuff.
This week should be interesting if there are some upsets, like if Boise State falls to San Jose State, but just a really big week for seeding and Mountain West tournament will be really exciting. Do we have any writers that are going down to watch the tournament this year?
Yes, Nicole will be down there for us. She does some UNLV stuff. She'll be at the tournament for Friday and Saturday. So we'll probably chat with her for our podcast before and after the tournament. Because me and Chris were down there last year. Whew, it was exciting.
Sounds good.
And even though this year's not as many as good teams, it still seems the games should be, assuming record-wise, should be pretty close. So, yeah, we'll chat with that. We'll have you on again, talk some more hoops and stuff. But thanks for hopping on. And I'm not going to cut this, Chris. So just ELA, just hang up, and me and Chris will keep going. So I think I don't want to screw anything else up because we've messed up too many shows in the past. One last thing for you. Since you do bracket stuff as well, what seed do you have the Aztecs at right now?
They're at 12 right now, and they were the first 12 seed in the last one, but with the loss of Boise, that'll probably knock them down to about the third 12 seed. But either way, I really don't see them being anything other than a 12 seed. But if another team such as Fresno or Boise can clinch a bid, they'll probably be, I would guess, right around the 13 seed range. I don't think they'll take a Mountain West team anything lower than a 13 seed just because they're a fairly high-up conference. So San Jose State's probably a 12, and any of the other schools are probably a 13 seed.
Avoiding Dayton for any of these situations, or any chance they can be there like Boise was?
What's that?
And like, would they avoid the opening round games, or would they slide into the full bracket?
If a team other than San Diego State wins?
Well, whoever. Like, you have Aztecs, and are they in the 64, or they play the Dayton?
San Diego State's in for the 64, but if another team gets in, they'll probably be in a play-in in Dayton for the 12 seed, and you know Boise's probably not going to be happy about that with how often they've – I think each of the last two times they've been in the tournament, they've played in Dayton, and last year against Dayton. Yep. So,
yeah, that was fair,
If they win the tournament, that's probably where they're headed. So maybe three times the charm for them.
Okay. All right, excellent. I want to make sure you get that in there. So we'll chat with you later. And, yeah, check out the stuff, and, go basketball.
Yep. Thanks. Thank you guys for having me.
All right, man. See you around. All right, so let's get on to football now, Chris. We've got some football stuff to talk about, okay? You suppose. Beep. She heard that. That's what that was. So do you want to go with I'll let you pick. Combine, guys running spandex and body parts flapping around.
No.
Did you happen to see that?
Let's not. I'll pass.
You'll see it later and laugh. Okay. Boise State spring football, San Diego State Calvin Munson baseball football combo, or the hypothetical from Burnt Or Nation, Rams to the Big 12.
Okay, yes. How about we do this?
Because we'll get those later. We'll talk about Colorado State.
Our good friend,
we'll talk about Colorado State momentarily.
We'll do that in a minute. Two things we're going to talk about here. We got the most serious of serious questions here from Tim Suzev, My Dog School on Twitter. Chris, what's your favorite sandwich?
Do burritos count as sandwiches?
No! Jeez, no.
What's my favorite sandwich? You know, I like a good chicken parmesan. Yes, a chicken parmesan really or sandwich.
Would a hamburger count there as a sandwich in?
We'll count burgers. Burgers and sandwiches are
okay. Sure, whatever. Chicken parm. Do you have a go-to place, or do you make it yourself?
Riverside, but obviously I can't go there anymore. Actually, you know what? I'm changing my answer to shawarma. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Interesting.
Oh, it's the greatest.
I've never had shawarma before.
Better than gyros, and I'm full aware saying that knowing I'm Greek.
I saw a place the other day in round town that had shawarma. I was kind of chuckled because of the it's a thing at the end of Avengers movie where they go to have shawarma.
Shawarma is absolutely delicious.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know what it is. I just heard of it. Middle Eastern food?
Like,
is that correct?
Meat carved into a pita, right? Meat sandwich.
So it's a meat sandwich?
As bun? The bread. Oh, okay. Right?
Oh, okay. I thought you meant the pita part is actually meat. Like the double decker from KFC where the chicken was the bun.
Okay, so, and then they got some onions, some tomatoes in there, and then it's unlike a Greek style gyro, which would have a yogurt sauce with like cucumber in there, shawarma is like a garlic sauce, like a creamy garlic sauce that's smothered on there. It's absolutely delicious.
My assignment for next podcast is find shawarma because that sounds delicious. Let's see. Shawarma, Utah County. Let's see what comes up. I probably had to go to Salt Lake to get it because where I'm at, it's not related to ethnic of an area near the BYU country. That sounds good. For me, that's a good sandwich. I don't usually go to places to get sandwiches. There's this one deli I want to try around town, but nobody really care where it's at in Salt Lake, but well, maybe it's and I forget the name. Great, jeez, how awesome I am! But I like a good roast beef sandwich. Roast beef is really good. So like roast beef, I put like tomatoes, lettuce. I finally started to get into horseradish a little bit, just a little bit, because the kick to it, really good. Also, jalapeno mustard is also a good item to put on a sandwich.
I am very much a
spicy. Are you a spicy food type of guy? That combo is actually pretty good, but if you put too much horseradish, it can kill a sandwich. Just a little bit, just enough. So I like a good roast beef. That's not too exotic, but just all the normal stuff. But tomato, avocado sometimes, lettuce, spinach lettuce, of course. I think that's the best lettuce for a sandwich. Is that correct to say? Shredded lettuce? Yeah. Spinach lettuce is the way to go. So that's, I'd say a good roast beef, but chicken parm, that's good shawarma. I'll give you an update next week on where I find shawarma.
Are these just random questions for the podcast? I mean, I'm totally fine with answering.
I put out, give us some questions, please. That was my second tweet after what we're talking about. That's why we got the Big 12 question from CSU. We got the Daniel question about Dark Horse team or Josh Adams. Okay, my second tweet was, give us some questions, and that was this question. So we know Tim listens quite a bit, so thanks for that. So hopefully – now, Tim, you need to reply and let us know what your favorite sandwich is as well. That's only fair. There we go. Okay, before we get to that, let's talk some socks today. It's now in Utah here. It cracked 60 degrees today. And like everybody knows, I'm a flip-flop guy. Well, if you probably don't know that, but I mentioned it enough. I busted out my ankle bombas today with my Nike skate shoes, which – blister tab. Is it weird if they're brand new socks and give them a good smell? Is that kind of weird? I did that today, so I did that for my new Bombas. These were not worn one bit. They've just been sitting in my drawer for a few months. Bombas.com/MountainWest. Get 20% off your first order. 4 pairs there. But again, like I said, you got the blister tab. They're perfect for running. If you play basketball, they don't fall behind because the socks are terrible that fall under your foot when you're trying to run or work out, or even just walking briskly to your car, because that's always a pain. You got the tab there. Again, most comfortable socks you ever wear. They donate a pair to charity, to those in need. That's a pretty big deal. Again, comfort. Go to the Gap, look at them, but go to our website, our code website, bombas.com/MountainWest, to get some good socks. I've been wearing them all day. I'm wearing them right now. I got the the orange color is pretty nice. Is that what's your favorite color? Is it the Boise blue or is it the orange? Kind of bronco
in
orange,
terms
I guess.
Of my favorite socks that I have right now. You know what? I love my neon orange, but I actually like my pink. My pink socks are awesome.
Yeah, there's a bunch of colors there. You got like bright bolt yellow. They do have some more traditional white, navy blue. If you're in the cold country, you got the was it Menorah socks? Is that correct? So check those out. Again, bombas.com/MountainWest. 20% off. You can't go wrong with these socks. All right, fine. Football. Who's ready for football? Well, since Chris started with the Big 12 reluctantly, we'll chat about that for about 4 minutes. Burnt Orange Nation, Texas website on SB Nation, decided to put a little article about, hey, what does Colorado State bring to the Big 12? Should they be added? Most people don't care on that Texas-centric, so know where the writers and commenters are coming from. It's on our website. It's on, I think, one of our first 5 or 6 articles. It's kind of just sitting there. Rams, they bring some good points because new stadium holds some – it's going to hold, 40,000 just about? More than, I believe, Kansas, Iowa State, some of those schools, Kansas definitely – They're in a market where the Big 12 is not at, so it's a fresh market, essentially. Their travel lies close to Texas, close to Kansas, close to Oklahoma State, pretty much. And they are not too bad in the football field. Is that enough? And they're the number 17 market. Is that enough to bring them in?
Is in terms of
or consideration? Yes.
Absolutely. And considering that Colorado State actually has a very – and we talked about this. Colorado State actually has really good academics. And if you're trying to be a Power 5 team and you're trying to, like, say, academics, blah, 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 yeah, then that's definitely where you're going to want to go. And so Colorado State, that new stadium is coming, so it should be fine.
Let me ask you this, because you're a good guy who is
Joylin. Yeah, yeah.
Joylin,
yeah.
Is that correct? Who worked for us for a little bit, Hughes? He's a professor. Was at CSU. Now he's up, I think, at Washington State, if I'm correct. He mentioned that I think outside of like Cal and Stanford, they have, I think, the highest endowment out of any school west of the Mississippi, which is a pretty big deal, which I don't know exactly how much his years ago mentioned it, but basically endowment, it's like, for those, I kind of know what it is. Essentially, it's like just pays for general scholarships, research. Endowment basically is you have enough endowment, you just live off the interest of it, essentially. Is that correct? Is that quick and easy answer to say what they use endowment for, Chris? And then also, if you ever read Vox.com, I kind of agree with this. People who give money to Stanford are dummies because there's much better ways to give money than to Stanford. Because wasn't there? Well, it's true. I'm not like. He gave, I forget who it was. I've seen this article twice in the past 2 years. We'll go off topic here, academic wise, for a minute. I think he gave $400 million to Stanford a couple weeks ago. But Stanford already has, why does Stanford need the money? What can they do with that money? You're better off. It's like giving to Harvard, giving to Yale. It looks nice. And in theory, it's not a bad thing, but give money somewhere else that's much more needed that could do more good.
State schools.
If you want to find it, go to Vox.com. I thought, reading them, like, that's kind of weird. They're reading. Yeah, because isn't the California state system pretty hurting for money?
In fact, if you look at your local state, whatever state you live in, and you look at what their educational system is, you should probably be giving them money so they can give, you know, scholarships and build up their sources and all that stuff.
And that's where, yeah, correct. That's where CSU has a good endowment, so they're not going to lose money. But academics, it depends who you are if you want to include it. But I would think after going over this Big 12 stuff for a while, especially with the main culprit being BYU Cincinnati. Market-wise, teams don't really bring in a ton. But however, if they had a Big 12 network, like I've heard like from David Bourne of Oklahoma, the president there, he's like, well, they should ESPN should just give Texas about, what, $60 million or something? Because they're getting an absurd $15 million a year, I think still for another 15 years. It's like, Texas, here's $60 million now to go away. We'll make a conference network. Because then you could bring in teams that have a market. Like, that's the only reason Maryland and Rutgers are in the Big Ten. Big Ten network carriage fees. And if you can charge a Big 12 network your main footprint a little bit more than you could, say, if you're in California or Washington or Florida, you know what I mean? It's outside of the footprint. And if you get Colorado, you get the whole state. If you include, because Denver, the whole state is a pretty good sized market. And that's how they can get money and they can bring in other big schools. But without having that, it's hard to say a team's worth it to come in, including even the big school like BYU or Cincinnati are the big, probably the best two programs the past couple of years to be considered. But would you see any chance, we'll wrap this up, any chance Colorado State would even be on any sort of list to get in?
I think they are. I think they're very close.
You really think they're that close? Or like serious? Interesting. Is it because the Big 12 wants Colorado back that they used to kind of have with the Buffs?
I think it's also just the fact that you can tap into that Denver market as well as tap into those recruits as well as, like I said, the academic state and the state of the football program getting better as well as basketball and everything like that. And you can use Denver as a site and it has been used as a site for a tournament central basketball at least.
I don't know. The stadium size is great. They bring in the market, I think, enough. But it's like, cool. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter if Tempe, again, it comes down to the network, the Big 12 network. for the market size, the Rams can make sense, even more than Boise, because bigger market size, despite Boise winning and winning and winning, odds of them getting in. Academics, Pac-12, never going to happen. Big 12, if they bring a combo, CSU, Boise, or BYU, you know what I mean, something like that out west, they have the market size, but it's like without the network, they don't bring enough to the table. Any addition doesn't bring, you know what I mean? You could bring in, who is it, South Florida, who's in, what are they, Miami? That doesn't matter. There's not going to be any extra money because for third-tier rights. So that's our conference realignment segment of the day.
That is not that much related. That just happened tonight.
All right.
Forget the Academy Awards. A modern quarterback of our time has jersey number has just been retired.
What do we got here? How much?
Keenan Reynolds, Navy just retired number 19.
Who is that?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Good move. Too bad he...
Yes.
You know the story. Although can't heard, be for to College Football Hall of Fame because, either, correct?
But, yeah, absolutely well-deserved. Now we just have to wait for Kellen Morris' number to be retired. But... but here's the thing. With what
all-time winning his quarterback in
his 4 years, three... Yeah, more than Roger Staubach.
More than Roger Staubach, I think.
It was to the point of what he did with that team. I mean, he made – it wasn't just making Navy relevant. It was making Navy into a top 25 team, a team that was really – you know, the guy was very, very unselfish, even though the whole team was on his shoulders. He's very unselfish. He had the chance to break the record. What was it? The single season record, like earlier in the season, and then at that particular game, and then handed it off full, very well knowing that he had a chance to break the record, and he broke the record the next game instead. So, I mean, you know, absolutely very well deserved for Keenan Reynolds. Good job, maybe.
Yeah, because and good job. And I mentioned people might say, "Well, Roger Staubach, Heisman Trophy winner." It's like, well, look at the time and place back when he played compared to now. Like his, yeah, winning the Heisman, amazing. I think it was what the FWAA had their top 75th anniversary All American team or something. Staubach was one of the one of the four quarterbacks. Obviously, better quarterback. I think we could safe to say that. Look what he did in the NFL, but. Back then, Navy was a powerhouse. Now, Navy is, at best, what Reynolds did, top 20 team for a couple weeks out of the year. So, congrats to him, and we'll see. He didn't get an invite to the combine. He's trying to be running back, but there's not much he can do because you got the two-year service after he graduates, unless there's a guy with Detroit a couple years ago. I don't know what happened exactly, but there are situations where you can do your service that's not necessarily combat-related or overseas-related or stationed in the U.S. where you can – I think it's an extended period of time where you do stuff in the off-season. You do stuff maybe a little bit in-season, but more week – kind of like you all see the recruiters on campuses, that type of stuff to still serve because you still need people to sign up and you need people to do that. So I remember there's a guy for Lions. I think he was able to do that instead of actually being full service. But who knows? Maybe Reynolds would rather – that's why he goes to Navy. He wants to be, and whatever he. I'm not. What does he want? Is he a pilot? He wants to be, or do you know exactly what his his expertise
I'm
was?
Not sure.
Okay, so he may not want to go to NFL, even though he's attempting right now, which he would at least want to try. Probably just at least test himself. So we'll see if he. Like there's Chad Hall for Air Force a while back. He was a do everything Mountaineers Player of the Year. I think late '90s, early 2000s. I want to say. After his service was with the Eagles for a couple years as a kick returner and kind of a receive slot guy. So we'll see what happens to him. That's a pretty good accomplishment. Because do you have offhand who's been retired Starbuck jerseys at Navy? Is there not many probably? So you see Navy football right here. Let me pull up the recruit. They did a couple hours ago on Sunday night here, but let me see if there's any other indication of who's been retired. There's a banquet, and this is lovely stuff, yeah. Number 19 won't be worn again. Let's see if there's anything about that. Nothing really. That's the only thing done. today, so we don't know. I'm not. Well, we don't want to spend time looking at that because that makes for a boring podcast. So congrats to Keenan Reynolds, and Air Force won't have to face him again, so that's good for them, I guess. So next a little bit, let's talk about – we talked about this a while ago, Calvin Munson in San Diego State. I guess he's focusing only on football. He was projected to be, because he's obviously a linebacker, a very good first team out west last year. He was projected to be the starting closer for an Aztecs football team that's usually pretty good. Not this year so far, because they lost, shut up by Kentucky the other day, lost to San Diego. But what do you think of a move? Yes. Because in baseball, you've seen baseball salaries, yeah,
guaranteed,
correct?
Guaranteed baseball salaries, not too much, correct?
Guaranteed baseball salaries? Yeah, and you can see guys like Tim Wakefield pitching for like 50 years.
Yeah.
If you get the hey kids, if you learn the knuckleball and you're pretty good at it, you can pitch.
That's not like football where you're guaranteed $300,000 every year, and if you play for 10 years and you're really good at your job, they could get into millions very quickly.
Yeah, but yeah, baseball though, man. Whew, if you're pretty good, they overpay like crazy. But I know a couple years ago, we just want to bring this up because it is an interesting story. He was supposed to be a closer because we were thinking, we didn't look it up, like, oh, he's because you mentioned to a couple weeks ago, like, he's a big guy, he's gonna play first base or outfield, but closer. And apparently, I looked around. It's hard to find MLB draft projections. Those aren't the easiest to find by any means. So I don't know if he was what his projections were, but he's switching to football only because last couple of years he kind of switched around. So there's that to keep an eye out for, because this could be a good thing if he's that good in football and he focuses in spring, debates what you want to say about spring football, right? Because if you're a starter, how much you're really going to practice. But do you think this is the best move for him, or at least for him or the football team, who do you think wins in this situation? Football team?
I don't know.
Calvin Munson, baseball team loses that bag because he's supposed to be their closer.
It's one of those things that good closers are always needed, but good closers can also be developed.
You're right. Correct. True.
And I know a particular team in college baseball San Diego, is weird because
if you're a closer, you can pitch for a long time because you're cheap and he's
good at it. They'll pretty much keep him for years as long as the price stays low. Otherwise, they'll trade him away.
Exactly. But yeah, closers have a long shelf life. But hey, it looks like he wants to concentrate football, and that's good for Aztecs because they're
outside of Boise State.
We'll say this again. I'm betting they'll be the preseason champions for the conference next year.
Let's be honest.
In football, and so him being able to practice
outside, you think he'll be Boise State?
Take off your Homer hat.
San Diego State doesn't.
You really think you still think he'll be Boise State number one?
I'm
probably right.
Conference champion, but.
You're probably right, but that shouldn't be the case.
We'll know in a few months, yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. We'll know in July, a couple months. So, speaking of Boise State, we'll kind of kick over to them. They're starting spring football. Raise your hand if you remember an article I think I wrote about a while back about Boise State's going to, or Brian Harsin came out to say,
yes.
We're going to have a quarterback competition, no starter given. And then we got called out on Twitter from the actual Brian Harsin about how competition is great. Do you remember that? Okay. I'm just raising my hand as well because I remember that too, because I'm like, oh, hey, Coach Harsin. I double checked if it was fake Coach Harsin, but it was not. Lo and behold, he was on ESPN Boise the other day. Spring football starts this week. Where is it here? I got exactly quote here. Where did it go? Yeah, Brett came in, Brett Rippin, that is, and obviously played extremely well.
Sure.
As we start out there this spring, Brett will come out there first and begin spring practice as a starter. Can I say I'm a victory in that? Is that okay to say? Now, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but it's just always funny. Coaches, like we talk about the show, this isn't – you're not the president. You're not keeping nuclear secrets from people. I get competition is there, but anybody who saw otherwise that Finley would not be the starter heading into spring would be a dummy. So I just wanted to bring that up because I'm like, hey,
that's the right call. I think he's got the starter position pretty much locked
up. Do you think there's any chance Finley gets unseated at all as a starter?
Yeah, it's not.
Minus injury, of course.
Yeah, it's he'll be the starter. Unless.
He's also first-team all-conference quarterback, too, so it's like, come on.
Well, because you know Harsin's following the Coach Peterson trend of literally.
Coach speak is the
literally
worst.
Having a quarterback competition, even though, hey, we know.
So. Literally. Yeah, you got Tommy Stewart back there, back up. You have Ryan Finley there. It's I wouldn't be surprised if Stewart maybe they already lost one guy, but some of those transfers. But you can't have too many good quarterbacks. That's a short answer. And look what happened last year. You lose Finley early on, then Rippon comes in, does great. And with Rippon being a true sophomore next year, we'll see if there's any quarterback exodus at all. But they'll be fine. Do you think, like, we don't need to dive too much into spring, but where do you think they need to work on? Because we're not going to talk to the combine too much now. It's already we've already talked way too much about everything. Check out the numbers. Rashard Higgins didn't run very fast. Hunter Sharp
did. I don't pay attention to spring ball until spring ball happens.
For Boise State, I'm asking you this. What do you think their main concern is in spring to work on?
That's nice.
You don't know? It's happening on Monday, next week.
Okay.
Like Fresno State is. Okay, let me ask you this then, because let me rephrase it so I get an answer out of you. They lose Darian Thompson, Clint Correa, a couple guys on defense. Offensive line loses one or two guys.
Well, considering. Do
you care about those positions? Do those really matter for you? Or is it going to be fine with Thomas Burback, Rippon throwing the ball? You got all the running backs back there, everybody doing their thing. Is that okay? Makes sense. I agree with that as well. That's one reason Finley was so good, because you got a guy blocking for him for at least the first half of the year until who was it? The center got the broken ankle. Is that correct? In October? Does that sound right? Sure. You should be more confident. Yes, that's what that was. No, that's okay. Now, they probably start March 7th. Actually, we're a week away. My apologies. Fresno knows on Monday. April 2nd is a spring game, so check it out. And maybe the snow will have melted in Boise by then, like it is here in Utah. So that's about all we got. We've chatted for a while. We talked. Yeah, this past week's been nice. So.
Hey, I still see snow in the mountains here in Utah. Avoiding Oscar spoilers.
Not totally inaccurate. Anything else to talk about the Academy Awards right now? Do you care?
Best Apparently, director I hate Mad is Max. Wrong. Everybody doesn't Probably like best that. Film is wrong. And surprisingly, this person who won the Oscar tonight for composer is his first Oscar, and I'm very, very confused about that. Huh? Oh, do I already spoil it? Should I just spoil it? All right, Ennio Morricone. Won his first Oscar tonight.
Who is
you don't
it?
Know who Ennio Morricone is.
Who was that? No, this will be Monday when people
goodness.
Hear
Are
this.
You
they
kidding
should know
me?
By now.
Good, Bad, the Ugly? He did the composing for all the
What else have they
Westerns?
Done? Not familiar.
The Mission?
Not the name.
Man,
I probably heard
Oscar
of their work,
for
but
the
not
Mission,
the name.
Or The Untouchables.
Gotcha.
The Oscars are
okay. Now I got you. That makes sense. I just didn't know the name. That's the Oscars for you, I guess, right? They are. So that they'll end the show on the Oscars are stupid. So that's our show for tonight. Again, check us out, MWCConnection.com. again, I'm waiting for, we'll wait for that sandwich feedback from Tim Suzev there, My Dog School. Give him a follow on Twitter. He will happily engage you about Fresno State stuff.
And how bad the Oscars.
So chat with him about that. So we'll see. Do this in the comments if you're listening this far. Tell us your favorite sandwich as well.
That's because you're
not. And if you've ever had shawarma or not. Is that a good kind of thing? Should I make that the poll, Chris? Have you ever had shawarma? Or should I make... I don't care about the Oscars, but sure.
No.
That's your... Sorry to stop on that, but no, that's
fine. I know
fine.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and I need to watch.
I'm a TV guy. I like the... even though I like TV, I don't care about the Emmys too much. I like Veep. That's coming up soon. Do you watch Veep at all?
Yeah, probably.
Do you know... Oh, yeah, you definitely need to watch it because... Not to go political at all, but if you think what's crazy going on now, that show's probably not as crazy what's going on right now. So check, yeah, that's my recommendation. Catch up on Veep before April.
That is
starts pretty sending to four seasons. Tony Hale's in there. Buster, he does have both hands. So that's always good to know. Hugh Laurie is in the most recent season. House. So, is that a good enough reason to watch House? Oh, okay, gotcha. All right. That's correct. He's also going to be in some AMC miniseries with Tim Hiddleston, or Loki from Avengers movie. That guy. We're going to end the show now because we're just going off topic on naming random people, and hey, they're in this, they're in that. But that's our show for tonight. We've gone one full hour, which is shocking, and we didn't get to everything we kind of wanted to talk about, but that's fine because the Combine, whatever, go to NFL.com or SB Nation and find out the Combine results for how fast guys run in their underwear. So, Chris Andres, we'll join back next week for another probably more heavy hoops previewing the tournament and stuff because we'll know what happens seeding by next Sunday night. So that'll be exciting. So check us out for that. Go to SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes. Leave us a review, 5 stars, but leave us a good review, and we'll see you guys.